Jana. Yasodhanandana Brijjana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ke Jaya Vishpad Paramahamsa Pravajikacharya Sotara Satashi Srimade Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ke ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ke Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ke Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ke Gaur Premanande. Our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishnaya Vallaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Devi. Gauravani Vacharane Nivishesha. Punyavari Paschatya Desatarane. Nope. Nope. Hare Krishna. We're getting to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 13, Brahma stealing the boys and calves. Today we'll hear from text number 19. Now, often we chant Om Gyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I've forgotten my glasses, so not only am I spiritually blind, but I might be unable to read this. I'm going to give it my best shot. Might be going slow like my Maharaj. His eyes are failing me. So this is in the tune of the six Goswamis. Oh, that would be, let's see, what verse is that from? 13, 19? It's a long verse. Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. You can do your service without this? You can do your service? Okay. Yavat vatsapa vatsa kalpa kavapur yavat karangri adikam. Vat vatsapa vatsa kalpa kavapur yavat karangrandikam. Yavat yasti vishana venu dalashig. Yavad Vibhushambaram Yasti Vishana Venudalesi Yavad Vibhushambaram Yavat Chila Ganadi Yavat Chila Ganabida Kritibayo Yavat Viharadikam Chila Ganabida Kritibayo Bhavadikam Sarvam Vishnu Mayam Gironga Vadaja Sarva Sarupo Babo Vishnu Mayam Gironga Vadaja Sarva Sarupo Babo Yavat Vatsapa Vatsakalpa Kavhapur Yavat Karangadikam Yavat yashti vishana venu dalashig Yavat vibhushambaram Yavat chila ganabhidad kritibayo Yavat vaharadikam Sarvan Vishnu Mayam Gironga Varaja Sarva Sarupo Bebo Would anybody like to do that better than me, please? Yavat vatsapa vatsakalpa kavapur Yavat karangadikam Yavat yasti vishana venu dalashik Yavat vibhushambaram Yavat chila ganabida kritibayo Yavat viharadikam Sarvan Vishnu Mayam Gironga Vadaja Sarva Sarupo Babo Haribo Yavat vatsapa vatsakalpa kavapur Yavat karangyadikam Yavat yasti vishana venu dalashik Yavat vibhushambaram Yavat chila ganabida kritibayo Yavat viharadikam Sarvan Vishnu Mayam Gironga Varaja Sarva Sarupo Bebo Okay. Yavat vatsapata vatsapa exactly like the cowherd boys. Vatsaka opaka vapu. And exactly like the tender bodies of the calves. Yavat kara angri adikam. Exactly to the measurement of the particular varieties of legs and hands. Yavat yasti vishana venu dalashik. Not only like their bodies, but exactly like their bugles, flutes, sticks, lunch bags, and so on. Yavat bibusha ambaram. Exactly like their ornaments and dress in all their varied particulars. Yava Shila Guna Adikha Akritavaya. Their exact character, habits, features, attributes, and explicit bodily features. Yava Vihara Adikam. Exactly according to their tastes or amusements. Sarvam, everything in detail. Vishnu Mayam, expansions of Vasudev, Vishnu. Gira Angavat, voices exactly like theirs. Aja Krishna, Sarva Sarupa Babo, created everything in detail as himself, without any change. You kind of get the idea they looked and acted exactly like the original cowherd boys. So Srila Prabhupada's translation, by his Vasudeva feature, Krishna simultaneously expanded himself into the exact number of missing cowherd boys and calves with their exact bodily features, their particular types of hands, legs, and other limbs, their sticks, bugles, and flutes, their lunch bags, their particular types of dress and ornaments placed in various ways, their names, ages, and forms, and their special activities and characteristics. By expanding himself in this way, beautiful Krishna proved the statement, Samagra Jagad Vishnumayam, Lord Vishnu is all-pervading. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.33, Advaita Machuta Manadam Ananta Rupam Adyam Parana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Krishna, Param Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Adyam, the beginning of everything. He's Adi Purusha, the ever-youthful original person. He can expand himself in more forms than one can imagine, yet he does not fall down from his original form as Krishna. Therefore, he is called Achyuta. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvam Vishnu Mayam Jagat, Sarvam Kalo Idam Brahma. Krishna thus proved that he's everything, that he can become everything, but that still he's personally different from everything. Matstani Sarva Bhutani Nachaham Teshavastita. This is Krishna, who is understood by Achintya Beda Beda Tattva philosophy. Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. Krishna is always complete. And although he can create millions of universes, all of them, full in all opulences, he remains as opulent as ever, without any change, Advaitam. This is explained by various Vaishnavacharyas through philosophies such as Vishuddhadvaita, Vishishtadvaita, and Dvaitadvaita. Therefore, one must learn about Krishna from the Acharyas, Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One who follows the path of the Acharyas knows things as they are. Such a person can know Krishna as he is, at least to some extent. And as soon as one understands Krishna, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata, one is liberated from material bondage. Tatva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. Srila Prabhupada ki. What a wonderful purport. The Sanskrit was just flowing from Srila Prabhupada. Every sentence just... So, I'm getting a second chance. It's a new day. It's a new class. I'm given the opportunity to try and be a better devotee and render some better service in the Bhagavatam. So, if we could pray together, I'll pray for you. I pray if you'll pray for me. Maybe we can have some nice hearing and chanting that'll be pleasing to the spiritual master, Vaishnavas, and the Lord. Om Agyanata Marandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurn Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sita Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarane Vanchakopatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. I really hope you said prayers. This is Krishna Lila Stava by Sanatan Goswami, and he writes verses that encapsulate the pastimes of the 10th canto, and he usually has a prayer asking for the benediction of the Lord. So I had hoped to read this, and let's see if I can pull it off. Okay. When you and the coward boys were busy, boy, that would be helpful, please, Krishna. Oh, I don't care what I look like. I can see. You sat down in the middle of the coward boys and ate your foodstuffs with your flute tucked into your yellow... A little slower, thank you. You sat down in the middle of the cowherd boys and ate your foodstuffs with your flute tucked into your yellow garment. Your dress was decorated with ornaments made from forest flowers and leaves. You tucked your buffalo horn and holding stick or herding stick into the left side of your dress at the waist. You held rice mixed with yogurt upon your left hand and then relished that rice with great pleasure. O Krishna, may you be pleased with me. You held various fruits from the forest in your hands and attracted the hearts of your cowherd friends. When your friends heard your joking words, they laughed loudly. Indeed, your picnic pastimes are certainly wonderful. When you and the coward boys were busy eating in the forest, the calves wandered far away while grazing. When you saw that your friends were worried because of this, you immediately went to search after the lost calves. This removed the anxiety from the minds of your friends. Yet you returned only to find your cowherd friends were missing also. So you began to look for them as well. However, you already knew that Brahma had stolen the calves and cowherd boys. So to give pleasure to the mothers of the cowherd boys, as well as a lesson to Brahma, you personally assumed the forms of all the calves and cowherd boys. You assumed the form of each cowherd boy and calf exactly, also imitating their personal characteristics and activities perfectly. As the calves and cowherd boys, you drank milk from their respective mothers and thereby increased their pleasure intensely. When Balaram saw such a sudden increase of ecstatic love all over Vraj, he began to search out the actual reason. Moreover, when Brahma saw that Krishna was still enjoying his pastimes, just as before, with the calves and cowherd boys stolen by him completely intact, he became bewildered. When Brahma saw your unlimited forms as the calves and the cowherd boys, he became struck with wonder. Thereafter, you solaced him out of your causeless mercy. All your forms are eternally situated in the mode of pure goodness. After receiving the darshan of Sri Krishna, Brahma became filled with humility. You enhanced his ecstasy by displaying the glories of your abode, Vrindavan. At that time, you were still holding rice mixed with yogurt in your hand. You're always controlled by your cowherd boyfriends. O Krishna, please protect me. Thereafter, you astonished Brahma by withdrawing all your expanded forms into your body. Embarrassed and now understanding your glories, Brahma washed your lotus feet with his tears of ecstatic love and pleased you by offering selected prayers. Sri Sanatan Goswami ki. So, the first words in the English translation are by his Vasudev feature, Krishna simultaneously expanded himself. So, we understand from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, the other sampradayas don't understand that. They accept Narayan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna comes from him. But Jiva Goswami and our acharyas, they point out this verse from the first canto, Ete chamsa kalapumsa krishnas tu bhagavan swayam, that Krishna is the original Personality of Godhead, the Adi Purusha, and that all other forms of the Lord, which are one person, there's just one person, Krishna, but all those unlimited forms, Ananta Rupam, they are coming from him. And when Krishna comes to manifest his pastimes in Vrindavan, here on this earth, then all those incarnations, they come into the body of the Lord, just waiting for the opportunity to render some service. And here's such an opportunity. Vasudeva sees, oh, we want to bewilder Lord Brahma? Okay, let me serve you, Krishna. And he expands into millions of cowherd boys and calves. Exactly. Looking, sounding, smelling, etc. Just like each and every boy. Thinking, speaking. No one could tell the difference. No one. And the gist of much of this purport, like Srila Prabhupada, it ends up that Krishna is proving the statement, Samagra Jagad Vishnumayam. Lord Vishnu's everywhere. He's all pervading. He's in every atom. He's in between every atom. And we have to understand this, or we won't understand Krishna. Lord Brahma didn't understand Krishna. He understood Vishnu. He understood this particular universe. He had some understanding of Vishnu. He was his worshipable Lord. He was a disciple of the Lord. The Lord had enlightened him from within his heart, spoken the Chatur Shlokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's a wonderful sentence in this purport to 9.4 that Srila Prabhupada quoted in the purport. He quoted the second line. The entire verse is Mayatitamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtana matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshavastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them. So this is the all-pervading energy of the Lord, which he is saying is my unmanifest form. It is Krishna. And then again, it's not, because all of this creation is in me. He showed that to Mother Yashoda when he was accused of eating dirt by Balaram and others. He opened his mouth and she saw the entire creation, including herself and her baby son Krishna. All creation, all living beings in the universe, they're within Krishna. But he's not in it. He's separate from it. And then he ends the purport. ends this purport to 9.4 with the verse Vistabhyaham idam Krishnam, which is from the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he says, but what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So both impersonally, sarva kalam idam brahma, everything is the energy of the Lord. It is all Brahman. And simultaneously, he enters in as his expansion, Paramatma, into every atom. So he knows. How did it say in the purport? Krishna thus proves that he is everything and that he can become everything. So when the coward boys are stolen by Lord Brahma and taken to the cave along with the calves, speaking in simple terms, then Krishna had no difficulty whatsoever in his Vasudeva feature replicating them. Exactly. Exactly. It said the word exactly about 5 or 6 times in every way, shape, and form. He was the coward boys and calves. So Srila Prabhupada in this purport says, I hope I can find that. It was a really nice statement. This is from the purport in 1042. If one, however, thoroughly understands or thoroughly studies the different descriptions of the opulences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then one can understand without any doubt the position of Lord Sri Krishna and can fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. So it's very important to study Srila Prabhupada's books, to the best of our ability, receive the gift of transcendental knowledge from the spiritual master, from Srila Prabhupada. When we say spiritual master, we could say gurum, in all of Guru Tattva's forms. We are begging to receive the gift of transcendental knowledge. If one does that, Acharyavan, Purusho Veda, then you're supposed to know everything. Now, no jiva can know everything. But the purport of it is how much do you really have to know? What we really need to know is that we are the eternal servants of Krishna and we're simply meant to offer him loving service.
If we understand that much, sambandha, abhideya, then that's the perfection of life. It will lead by the mercy of Krishna and Guru to fully blossom love for Krishna and will be allowed to enter into his family, into his community in Vraj. Sometimes you hear statements by, what do I know about Krishna? Or what do I know about the oceanic scriptures that are there describing the Supreme Absolute Truth? I mean, this Krishna, everyone is searching for him, whether they know it or not. But let's speak about transcendentalist devotees. They're searching for him. Yogis are trying to capture Paramatma, who's within their heart. They're trying to realize him. But the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord are so rarely captured, are rarely manifest within the heart. And often it's said, even Brahman Shiva, they don't attain the mercy that the Vrajvasis are getting, the mercy that the cowherd boys are daily receiving, or Mother Yasoda, or the gopis. It's so rarely achieved. And yet, this is what's being offered in front of us like a dangling carrot. Do we want it? Are we going to try and go for it? Sometimes it seems that as we make advancement in Krishna consciousness, like the goalposts keep getting moved further and further away. Like I said, the more I come to hear about this incredibly bewildering pastime, the more I realize what an idiot I am. What do I really know? I know a little philosophy. I have enough intelligence that I can try and repeat it in somewhat of an intelligent fashion. But what do I know? This is one thing I do know. That somehow or other, by the mercy of Krishna, I got the mercy of one of his pure devotees. That he appeared in my life in the form of a Bhagavad Gita. I became attracted to this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and as such, I became attracted to Krishna. A concept, yes. Not realized, not even close. But I want Krishna. Even when I first began reading, I realized, and especially shortly thereafter, when I got the Krishna books and started reading the Leelas of Krishna, I spent a whole summer doing nothing but reading Krishna books and trying to tell it to anybody who would listen to me. Krishna is so wonderful. He's done this, he's done that, he's killed these demons. And of course, I couldn't pronounce the names or anything like that, but the essence was all attractive and was slowly cleansing my heart. And this was all because of Srila Prabhupada. Krishna book is his. How does he say it? There's a word that it's his storytelling, his putting in his own words the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam and his purports woven together in a seamless way where even one sunk in the depths of ignorance can become attractive and even begin to understand something of this philosophy, something of the reality that Krishna is my Lord and I have a relationship with him. So what do I know? I have been put under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And by his mercy, I'm given the shelter of so many other devotees. Given the shelter in so many ways. When we take to this process of Krishna consciousness, we see daily how the Lord is personally reacting or personally reciprocating with us. It happens all the time. Did I deserve to have a pair of glasses in my hand? No, I'm an idiot. I left them back home. Krishna provides through his devotee. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I'll preserve what you have, and I'll carry what you lack. And the more we chant Hare Krishna, and the more we throw ourselves to the best of our ability into the process trying to surrender to Guru, Vaishnavas and Krishna, then more and more of his mercy manifests. More and more faith develops. And this is what we mean by the advancement of Krishna consciousness. It's the growth and the advancement of faith. Like Srila Prabhupada one time, more than once, asked leaders of our movement, do you really believe Krishna is God? There's one verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas where it says, I'm part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna, and therefore I'm his eternal servant. I aspire for his mercy at every moment. It's a sutra. It's very powerful. I'm the eternal part and parcel of Krishna, therefore I'm his eternal servant. And I aspire for his mercy at every moment. You see, Krishna consciousness, just like it's exemplified by Lord Brahma, is a gradual process, and it's actually one of making a decision every moment in our life. Are we wanting to please Krishna? Are we trying to serve Guru and Krishna? Are we trying to take a little recess? Are we trying to backtrack a little bit? Or just put it on pause so I can slow down and relax? This Krishna consciousness can be pretty heavy. I mean, I'm supposed to do service all the time. I'm supposed to chant so many rounds every day, etc., etc. Let me just take a break. Of course, that's the weeds within the heart, the weakness of the heart. But we're given that opportunity every moment, actually. And we come to the point of being steady and crossing the boundary where one is fixed by the mercy of Guru and by intense endeavor, desire, serious focus and desire of service to the Lord. Then at a certain point it becomes easier and easier, and then there's no other recourse. There's no turning back. Why would I even want to turn back? Because Krishna becomes sweeter and sweeter and embraces or envelops us in his mercy more and more. Now these are flowery words possibly. I was speaking with my Prabhu yesterday, and I think if I get it correct, the statement was there that in Raga Bhakti, when there's affection for the Lord, then you know the mercy of Krishna is there. One doesn't advance that deeply in Krishna consciousness without Krishna's special mercy. And in the process of Vaidhi, practicing devotional service, it's questionable. This is evidently a statement whether Krishna's mercy is there or not. But this is the point. What do I know? I know that Guru's mercy is there. Srila Prabhupada's mercy is there. For each and every devotee engaged as they can in the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada, in, I forget the exact question that a disciple one time asked him, but his response was very telling. He said, it was something about going back home to Godhead, whether he would or wouldn't. Because Srila Prabhupada has promised that he'll take us back home, back to Godhead, and at the end of this very life. No other acharya does that. This is monumentous in the history of Vaishnavism. He promises. And a devotee, it's natural to wonder, is that possible? Look who I am. Look where I'm at. Look at my dirty, undeveloped heart, my oceanic faults. Is it possible? It's human to doubt. And he asked a question like that. He said, it's not your business to worry whether or not you're going back home to Godhead. That's my concern. Your concern is to surrender and serve the spiritual master. So if we do that, then we have no worries. Maha Suchaha, don't worry. the depth of the necessity of the depth of progression in Krishna consciousness. It'll be traversed by the mercy of the Lord. We don't have to worry about that. We have to focus in on something more practical and more relevant for us. Are we pleasing our spiritual master and the Vaishnavas? Are we extending ourselves? Are we getting out of our comfort zone in trying to please our spiritual master? If we do, then he'll bless us where we can know, quote unquote, everything. In other words, our relationship with Krishna. Janma karma cha me divyam eva myo veti tatvata. That's the truth. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Tvaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. One who remains fixed in that reality doesn't have to worry about taking another birth in this material world. And when you're truly fixed in your devotion for Krishna, then that lack of worry about taking birth in the material world, it isn't just a desire of, I want to go back home to God. It actually means whether I take birth again or not. Whatever the Lord wants. I don't care as long as he gives me the opportunity to remember him, to have the association of devotees, and to serve him. Speaking of Brahma, thinking of Brahma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I would rather take birth as an insect in the house of a devotee than to be a non-devotee Brahma. It's kind of hard to conceptualize. Not that hard, I suppose. But boy, aren't we fortunate that Lord Brahma in our universe is a devotee? That our disciplic succession comes from him, started with him, having gotten the mercy from Krishna? Aren't we fortunate? And aren't we fortunate how we see how it's a gradual process? This pastime ends up beautifully. His ecstatic tears of repentance. Ecstatic repentance. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't want to ever do it again. Please don't reject me. Please accept me. His tears washed the feet of Krishna. And he prayed. Oh, within his heart he's praying, don't let me become proud again. He even saw these Vishnu forms that turned into so many universes. Here's an interesting thought. Later on in Krishna Lila, he went to see his Lord. He knows he's Lord. He's my master. He went to see him in Dwarka. Can I please see Krishna? The doorman goes to Dwarkanath, Krishna, and he says, Lord Brahma's here to see you. Oh, really? Which Brahma? Four-headed, oh, no. He says, go and ask him, which Brahma is here to see me? And he goes back, he asks Lord Brahma, and he goes, four-headed Brahma. And it really perplexes Lord Brahma. And he's allowed inside, and the Lord, by his energies, requests all the Brahmas to come from all the unlimited universes into his palace there, into his whatever room you would call that he's sitting there giving darshan. And Lord Brahma comes in thinking, are there more than one Brahma? And then he looks around and he sees all these Brahmas, some with four heads, some with eight, some with 16, some 32, and you start doing the math. I mean, some of them must have unlimited heads. I mean, practically speaking, how many zeros can you put on it? Because some of the universes are gigantic, inconceivable to us, we tiny little jivas. And once again, Krishna smashed his pride. He realized this is not the only universe and I'm not the only Brahma. In fact, he was the tiniest of all the Brahmas. So he was humbled not just by the numbers, but by his own insignificance. So Krishna kindly did that with him. Once again revealing how great Krishna is and how tiny and insignificant and fortunate Lord Brahma is to be allowed to engage in his service. So in this way, Lord Brahma sets a wonderful example for all of us. And to have any understanding of Krishna, we have to accept the shelter of a spiritual master. And to be a bona fide spiritual master, he has to be in the disciplic succession of the Lord. And there are four disciplic successions in this world by the Lord's mercy. And we have from the Padma Purana, Sampradhaya Vihinaye Mantraste Nishpalas Mataha. That if you are not connected to, if you're not a member of one of the four sampradayas, then your chanting of the Lord's names or any mantras from the Vedic scriptures, what to speak of your realization or knowledge of the Lord, it'll be incomplete. It'll be like a sterile seed, an impotent seed. You will not get the desired result of loving devotional service to the Lord eternally. And Srila Prabhupada makes mention that in the purport that there are four sampradayas. And I did homework because off the top of my head, I couldn't have told you what the philosophies are of Dvaita Dvaita. Now that one I knew, Madhvacharya, that Ishwara or the Lord, he's different from us. And all the Vaishnava philosophies, they defeat Mayavad philosophy, Kevala Advaita. Shankaracharya's illusion he perpetrated that, you know, it's all one. Sarvakalam idam Brahma. He quotes that. It's all one. It's all Brahman. So Madhvacharya, who Lord Chaitanya appreciated the principle, you smash Vedanta. It means to break the teeth of the Mayavadis with his commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Krishna is distinct and individual and different from the living entities. Krishna is different from the material world, our material energy. The living entities are different from the material energy. The living entities are different from each other. In this way, it's all dvaita. It's all different. And that's what he stressed. And then Ramanujacharya, he had the philosophy of Vishishta dvaita. How do they translate that? Vishishta dvaita. Specified oneness. What is it? Superior monism. Okay. This philosophy states that the living entity, the individual soul, and the universe, or jagat, depend on Ishwara, the Supreme. They're all interconnected. They're distinct, but they're all one. And it's not in this little one-liner, but this is one of the examples that I'm pretty sure I'm correct that it's an example of Ramanujacharya. It's like the body and the soul. The soul is distinct from the body is distinct from the soul, and it's dependent upon the soul. And in one sense, they are one. But specifically, they're not. So that's Ramanuja's philosophy. And Nimbarkacharya, Nimbarkacharya, his philosophy, what was that? Vishnu Swami, I forgot, here we go, I got it here. Okay, Nimbarkacharya, his was called Dvaita Advaita. Monism and dualism. And it almost sounds, well, they all are similar in one sense. But anyway, his was based on, here's a one-liner for him, that the identification between form and without form, so vishesha and nivishesha, aspects of Brahman and Bhagavan, aspects of Bhagavan rather, the Supreme Person, is natural.
It's different and it's one at the same time. He sees no contradiction. The two categories of the living entities are eternally conditioned and eternally liberated. And the eternally conditioned can become eternally liberated if they take to the process of sadhana or bhakti. And interesting, he breaks down five stages of bhakti, which includes karma and jnana. He says the first stage is a ritualistic process. Second is the cultivation of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, of course. Third is meditation, jnana. Fourth is prapatti, or surrender. And the fifth is guru prapatti, complete dedication to the instructions of the spiritual master. So we certainly emphasize and identify with that without complete surrender and dedication in service to the spiritual masters, there's no question of being allowed the service of Krishna. Just like Lord Brahma can't barge into Vrindavan and just begin to and enter into the service of Krishna there in the mood of the Vrajvasis. Nobody can barge in. You have to get the mercy of the servants of the Lord. Specifically, if you want to serve Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, you have to get the mercy of the Vrajvasis, a devotee in the mood of service to Krishna. And the last, Vishnu Swami, Shuddha Advait, a pure monism. And this is Vishnu Swami's. And he says basically everything's pure, including the material universe that's created by God. And it's intimately related to him. He's transcendent and he's immanent. He's beyond it, but he's in it. And it makes mention that Sridhar Swami, who's the original commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, comes from Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. Sridhar Swami. And we know he was a big devotee of Lord Nrisimhadeva. And the Rudra Sampradaya, they often worship Nrisimhadeva. My Prabhu shared with me an interesting drop of nectar, that when Brahma is not enlightened, and we didn't know because it was a one-liner that he heard from Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami, but we didn't know if it was, I don't know, I didn't understand. If you do, please help me here. But when Brahma, our Brahma, he was enlightened by hearing the flute of Krishna and received Gayatri from Krishna in this form. That was his initiation. That's what began it all for him, his devotional life. And when the Lord enlightens Brahma in a way other than the flute, do you know what mantra he enlightens him with? The Nrisimha Maha Mantra. Ugram Viram Mahavishnum Jalam Tam Sarvatomakam Nrisimham Bishanam Bhadram Mrityur Mrityum Namamyaham. An interesting little drop of nectar. There's so much nectar in Krishna consciousness. But to wrap it up, all these acharyas, whether it was Nimbarka, Ramanuja, or Madhva, Vishnu Swami, they all came to Mayapur. Not to Mayapur, specifically to Navadvip, most of them in Motadruma Dweep, and got the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were all inspired, divinely empowered to preach as they did in the 12th, 13th centuries, etc. And they kept within their heart the desire to serve Lord Chaitanya. And all of them, it said, would be allowed to eternally serve him. Their wish would be fulfilled. And three of them, only Madhvacharya wasn't stated what his name and thus pastimes were with Lord Chaitanya when he descended in his manifest leelas. But all these are great acharyas. I'll end on this note. It's a letter, I believe, or a purport by Srila Prabhupada from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. A Vaishnava should study the commentaries on Vedanta Sutra written by the four Sampradaya Acharyas, namely Sri Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, for these commentaries are based upon the philosophy that the Lord is the master and that all living entities are his eternal servants.
that Srila Prabhupada said in the letter is the central similarity that we're all eternal servants of the Lord. Every sampradaya pronounces that. One interested in studying Vedanta philosophy properly must study these commentaries, especially if he's a Vaishnava. These commentaries are always adored by the Vaishnavas. I'm pretty much a simpleton. Srila Prabhupada does give much of the aspects of the Vaishnava's philosophies in Chaitanya Charitamrita purports, and they're there to be read. And anyway, if there's any questions or comments, we'll end on that note of explaining that to understand Krishna and his opulences or his energies properly, one has to take shelter of a sampradaya, a spiritual master in a sampradaya, and through the process of devotional service, we can become enlightened in that we're the Lord's eternal servant and render service to him. Any questions or comments? I wish the microphone wasn't broken, but that's why it's not being used for those listening online. But there's a devotee named Sitala Devi Dasi who was appreciating that our prayers were answered, that I, like an idiot, forgot my glasses, but the Santaranjani kindly lent me hers, and they were perfect. I could read, and her point is that the Lord does reciprocate with us when we surrender to him, and such experiences are very faith-building. That's a one-liner of a very long comment. Thank you, Sitala. So, the question is, how can we become more steady in our Krishna conscious taste? I guess I didn't expect to hear the word taste at the end, but I suppose the answer that I was thinking as hearing the question is the same. By practice. How do we become steady? By practice. And as we practice in activities that have been given to us by the spiritual masters, then we render acts that are pleasing to them and the Lord. And by pleasing the devotees, the spiritual master, and the Lord, then the mercy is given. The mercy is the service. The mercy is the endeavor, the ability to even desire, to become strengthened in our desire to serve, to please Krishna and his devotees. And the more we do it, then the more we want to do it. The taste is a gift. It's within us. What is anandam buddhivardhanam? We are a participant in the oceanic nectar of devotional service. That's our birthright. But we left that ocean and went to the desert of this material world. But now we've been grabbed by the spiritual master and brought to the shore of the ocean. And there's a saying in America, in English, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So if you're not thirsty, you're not going to drink. But if you felt the heat and the pain, sufficiently felt it, the pain of this material world and the misery of identifying with this body and mind, if you have enough realization that it's a fool's paradise and I should quit, then you begin to take the water according to your ability. The more you drink, the more you're able to drink. And the more you drink, the fire, the heartburn, it's all extinguished. And one becomes more and more happy. In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada says, one becomes attached to the service. And if we are fortunate enough to become attached to the service, Srila Prabhupada says, that will lead to attachment to Krishna. So the beauty of Krishna consciousness as given to us by Lord Chaitanya is that Krishna is right here on our tongue, in our ears, in our mind, our heart, if we just take advantage. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Rupa Goswami says, isn't it wonderful that as we chant Hare Krishna daily, that the taste for chanting, the desire for service to the names increases, and gets sweeter and sweeter? Isn't it wonderful? Practice. Thank you, Jamuna. Priya, dear to the Jamuna. Jai. And thank you for your association, your attention, your patience with me. And I hope everyone has a wonderful Krishna conscious day. Srila Prabhupada ke, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ke, Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ke, Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.